The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Amen. Glory to God. Did you bring your voice to church? So I have a very short admonition for us this evening. How many of us were blessed last weekend? Were you blessed? Have you started applying some things you learned? That kind of weekend is such that you might have to go back to the things you heard, to the things you learned, you know, go over them again and again, internalize them, act on them, amen. Because they have the capacity and the power to change your life, amen. You know, that last weekend was such a weekend where, when we finished, you know, I was telling my wife, sometimes after every session, I would tell her, I need to go back and listen to this teaching. Even though I was one that preached it, because the things came with so much utterance and so much power. Man of blessed us, perfect ladies blessed us. Amen. Today I want to bring a short admonition, something that has to charge you up within the very short time we have left. I hope you prayed with us. You know, let me say something to you. Maybe as a way of just admonishing you before I continue. Prayer time is not time to waste. And I've always told you, the result of prayers will go to the person that prayed. So if I'm having a time of prayer and others are praying and you are moping, things don't come to you because you witnessed prayer. It's because you prayed. Because you are around where we are praying does not bring things to you. If I let me say again, things don't come to you because you listen to prayer. No. That's why I say to you, you're joining prayer online and then they're praying, you just play it. Keep it aside and you're doing something else. You're not praying. Things don't come because you're listening to prayer. Answers come because you prayed. It is the man that prays that have answers to prayers. And so when we come to meetings like this and we're praying, you better join us and pray. Are you following me? You better join us and pray. Give yourself to prayer and results will show forth. I have one word to admonish you with today. I called it decide. Decide. Amen. Decide. I'm going to charge you to be able to make a decision. Decisions that will change your life forever. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Decisions that will change your life forever. I would like to start by showing you that, you see, God has good plans for you. Jeremiah 29 tells us in verse 11, I know the thoughts I have for you. They are thoughts of good and not of evil to give you an expected end. So you shouldn't be bothered about whether God has good plans for you or not. He has good plans, thoughts of good and not of evil to give an expected end. So you look for what God has for you, good plans, thoughts of peace, thoughts of good, thoughts of prosperity. That word peace there means shalom. That's the word shalom. Shalom is wholeness, completeness, nothing lost, nothing missing, nothing broken. That is God's plan for you. Hallelujah. But you see, as beautiful as God's plan for you may be, it is your, and I want to say this way, your decision is what will bring you into whatever God planned for you. God has prearranged a good life for us. But you are not going to automatically receive a good life until you're able to make certain decisions in your life. It is your decisions that bring you into whatever God has planned for you. You know, Ephesians 2 tells us in verse 10, talking about our salvation in Christ Jesus. He said, for we are his workmanship. Hallelujah. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So God has ordained them, but then the point is that we should now walk in them. So if God ordains good things for you, and you don't deliberately begin to walk in them, you will not have them. Your decisions are powerful. It's your decisions in the past that is responsible for where you are today. The choices you made yesterday are the things responsible for the things happening in your life today, whether you know it or not. So I'm going to challenge you today to make very serious decisions about your life. We just started the second half of the year last month, and we still have like 5 months to go before the year is over. How this year will end for you and how next year will be for you is a product of the decisions you're going to make even from today. God has prearranged a good life for us, but your decision brings into that life. Let me say to you quickly that your decision is stronger than your destiny. Your decision is stronger than your destiny. What that simply means is that God might have what he planned for you, but it is your decision that will determine whether you get there or not. You know, there's a scripture that always, you know, touches me every time I read it. In 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30, read about the sons of Eli. Sons of Eli. These guys, we are from the tribe of Levi. Okay? And long ago, God has a promise that he has made to that tribe. In fact, because they are part of that tribe, they already had a part in a certain inheritance. Look at that. Therefore, the Lord God of Israel said, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. In other words, he had ordained that these guys should be priests before him forever. So even before they were born, there was a destiny waiting for them in that they were going to serve as priests. But look at what he said. He said, but now the Lord said, be it far from me, for them that honor me will I honor. So God already had a plan for them, but they chose a certain path, and God said, be it far from me. Even though I said it, I'm saying it will no longer happen. Because your decision is stronger than your destiny. Are you getting the point? I'm here today because God ordained that I was going to be here. But I tell you again, I'm here today because I cooperated with God's ordination. If I didn't decide to cooperate with God's ordination, I won't be here. Your decision is stronger than your destiny. And so even when people are giving you prophetic words, bear it in mind that your decision is stronger than those words. What that simply means is that God can say something and by your decision, you will refuse. By your decision. I give an example. God has destined for every man to be born again. Are you aware? God wants every man saved. But a man can wake up and say, I'm not going to accept Jesus. And God will not force it on him because your decision is stronger than God's plan for your life. I don't know what I'm talking about here. So when we're teaching you things like following God's plan for your life, it is because we understand this simple fact. That your decision is stronger than whatever God's plan is. Because if you don't follow God's plan for your life, that thing that he has planned that will happen to you will not happen. Are you following me? Your decision is stronger than your destiny. Your destiny is what God has planned that you will be. Your decision is what you've decided that you will be. And God will not go against your decision. He won't. He can only try to persuade you, but he won't go against it. So I'm teaching you today. I'm charging you today on decide. The power of decisions. Decide. So number one, I say your decision is stronger than your destiny. I also want to add, your decision is stronger than your background. Your decision is stronger than your background. What that means is, if you were born into a bad background, maybe for whatever reason, your father was poor, your mother poor, you even came from a group of people, we say they are cursed. You came from a cursed lineage. Whatever that be, your decision today is stronger than that background. In 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9, we read about a certain man called Jabez. 1 Chronicles 4. And verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable. In fact, if you look at, start from verse 1 of this. Let's just look at this. From verse 1. The sons of Judah. Phares, Hezron, and Cami, and Hor, and Shobal. So it was a story of genealogies. And you will observe something about them. The only thing said about these people was that they just existed. Continue. And Rea, the son of Shobal, begat Jahat, and Jahat begat Ahumai and Lahad. These are the families of the Zerothites. That's the little thing about them. And these were of the father of Etam, Jezreel and Ishma and Idbash. And the name of their sisters was Hazelel Poni. You know, that puzzle we did in church on Sunday. Do you remember? Right? For Singles Connect. If I had written that in, none of you will get it. We see this name we just passed. Go back. Go to Hazelel Poni. You can, if I arrange it, you will never, even if you start praying. Hazelel Poni. That's a lady's name. So you can just give birth to you. Look at it, their sister. So you can give birth to your daughter. Hazelel Poni. He said, wait, Hazelel. Next verse. Of course, Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Husha. These are the sons of Hor, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. The only thing about this, they're just telling us about them. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives. This one, the only thing about it was that he had two wives. Hela and Nara. Nara. Next verse, verse 6. And Nara bare him Ahuzam, and Hefer, and Temeni, and Hahashtari. The people that arranged those names on Sunday did not. These were the sons of Nara, or Nara. And the sons of Hela, we are Zeret, and Jezoa, and Etnam. And Koz begat Anub, and Zobeba. And the families of Ahahel, the son of Harum, and Jabez. Now, you see how the story flowed. They kept telling us about different people, and then we get to the man Jabez. And the story broke. They began to talk about him. Now, this is very interesting because some people live all their lives and the only thing we know about them is that they were ever born. May that not be you. Yeah. You say he just existed. He gave birth to, and that's the end. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. You see how they went. They first told us about the end of Jabez's life before they went back to the beginning. They first told us that he was honorable before they told us that his mother bear him with sorrow. You know what I'm saying? There is a way you succeed in life. The circumstances around your birth will no longer be important. They will start from the end. That guy succeeded. He said Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him. So they told us the end of his life. And now return to the beginning of his life. How was he born? He was born with sorrow. And he was named with sorrow. He was named with sorrow. And that's not the only person this happened to. You know, those days, they were named, you know, with the circumstance of their birth. And that's what I want to say to you. I know many things are going on there, but let me say this to you. As a believer, names, the names you give your children should not be the trending names. All these Jaden, everybody's bearing. Names should be born out of revelation. I get to the point. There was another person in the Bible that the mother, out of pain, gave him a bad name, called him Benoni. And the father said, no, his name shall be called Benjamin, the son of my right hand. You name your kids from revelation. So what does that mean? That means once you are pregnant, or your wife is pregnant, both of you are praying, and God may not like give you a name and say his name shall be called this. But then, from everything God has said concerning that child, you can craft out a name for that child. That as he grows every day, they are calling him his destiny. I know what I'm talking about. I just have to add that. You don't just name children carelessly. Trendy names for 2024. Jaden. Most everybody is Jaden. I saw a meme, I saw one skit like that. Like in 2030, you come to pick your children from school, say, Jaden, everybody will come out. Everybody will come out. That's, we name our children by, what does it even mean? I'm not saying it's a bad name. But I think you should name kids by revelation. So the mother named him Jabez. Okay. But that's also to tell you that even if you have a bad name, that's not an excuse. Because your decision is stronger than your background. Is stronger. So they named him Jabez because of the circumstances around his birth. I bear him with sorrow. Look at verse 10. And Jabez woke up one day and called the God of Israel. and say, oh, that will bless me indeed. That will enlarge my course. That thy hand be mighty. And he prayed that prayer, and Bible said, God granted him that which he requested. In other words, he stole one that decided, well, this is what you guys called me, but I have another thing to tell myself. Your decision is stronger than your background. So all this, I didn't come from a rich home, should end. Your decision today will determine whether you will get there or not. There are people born into rich homes and they fail eventually. And they fail. I feel what I'm talking about. I wasn't born into a rich home. It's okay. That's your background. What are you saying today? What are you deciding today? What are you deciding today? There's another young man in the Bible called Jephthah. Where he was born by a prostitute. Which if you're conversant with Israel and their culture, he was not to be associated with because he was born out of wedlock. And eventually they threw him out of the house. The kinsmen rejected him. And the man woke up one day and decided he was not going to end ordinary. And eventually when there was need for war, they went for him because your decision is stronger than your background. Are you following me, friends? However your background is, it's not as important as the decisions you're going to make today. It's not as important. That's why it's good we pray and break ancestral curses if there is any. But listen, your decision is stronger than your ancestry. It's stronger than your ancestry. Are you following me? So it's stronger than your destiny, stronger than your background, it's stronger than your circumstances. Yeah. You know, things that have happened to you in the past, your decision today is stronger than them. Listen, people end badly in life and you ask them why. They say, well, because when I was 2, this happened. I lost my father when I was this. Lost my mother when I was that. I was an orphan from when I was 7. That's why I didn't succeed in life. People say crazy things. People say, you know, when I was younger, I had an accident. I lost one of my legs. That's why I didn't become all that I wanted to become. That's crazy. Your decision today is stronger than the circumstances around your birth and around your life. So why are you not being everything? Oh, when I was this, I was raped. And because I was raped, I had a child out of wedlock when I was 16. And since then, my life ended. Your decision today is stronger than circumstances, stronger than things that have happened to you. I feel what I'm saying. And that's why I'm going to ask you to break out of making excuses. And from making excuses. The things that happened to you might have an impact on your life. But the decisions you make today are stronger than the things that have happened to you. The things that have happened to you are bad enough, but they don't have as much impact as the decisions you make today. Why didn't you succeed in life? You know, I was going to school. In my third year, I was thrown out of school. I was rusticated, and that was the end. That's something that has happened to you. Your decision is stronger than that event. You know, there was a man in the Bible called Esau, who by virtue of whatever, Jacob stole his birthright. And he came to his father and asked his father to pray for him. And his father told him in Genesis 27 and verse 40. He said, you will serve your brother. That is what the circumstances have brought. He said, but it shall come to pass. When thou shalt become restless, thou shalt break that yoke off your neck. Saying to him, this is what has happened now. But one day, you will wake up. When that day comes and you decide that you don't want this again, this yoke will end. So decisions are stronger than the things that have happened to you. Are you following what I'm saying? Put it like NLT or NIV, any traditional NLT first. Read me, everybody. You live by your sword and you serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, so it's on you. The day you decide that this pattern will end, it will end. Your decision is stronger than the circumstances around your life. That's why I don't entertain excuses. Because yes, you are born into a poor home. Sorry. Nobody was there to train you in school. Sorry. But those things are not enough. Your decisions are stronger than those things. Stronger than those things. And that's why you must learn to make decisions and stand by them. Strong one. So the things that have happened to you, that have happened around you, you lost this and you lost that. I'm sorry. Someone broke your heart. I'm sorry. You lost someone that promised to train you in school. Now we're talking about it now that we're coming out. A young lady that, you know, those days when she was in secondary school, she used to tell all her friends that she was going to, you know, travel abroad to go and study. And that was her dream. And she meant it. So after school, she disappeared. None of us heard from her again. After like a couple of years, for real, we saw her again. And I was like, well, I was expecting that she would tell me, I just got back from Canada. I said, what level are you now? She said, I'm in second year, IMT. Now, what is wrong with IMT? Okay? So I said, why? She said, you know, when we finish school, and, you know, the man that was sponsoring that whole thing, my uncle, whatever, for some reason, pulled out and refused to sponsor again. And my family tried to push it. It wasn't working. He said, and my life became a mess. And I told her that I said, I'm sorry you couldn't travel abroad, but it is your decision that determines where you end in life. Don't let the stories and things that have happened to you define you. You can decide today to be more, despite whatever has happened to you. I guess what I'm talking about. You are thrown out of school. It has happened. Your decision today is stronger. Let me even add something. Your decisions today are stronger than your mistakes. That's stronger than the mistakes of your past. Your decisions today. That's stronger than the mistakes of your past. Sir, I got into men. I got into women. And I messed my life up. I don't think God can ever use me again. I don't think I can ever get to wherever again. Your decision today is stronger than your mistakes. Stronger than your mistakes. Are you following me? That's why you have to decide today on certain things. Let me tell you. I thank God for God, and His grace is what is helping me. But there are progress I've made in my life, like where I am today, is because I decided one day to cooperate to God. You know what? I put something on my status, and people thought I was just encouraging myself. I woke up one day and decided not to be small in life. You have to make that decision. No? Wake up one day and say, see, you are not good. I woke up one day and said, see, Henry, you will not be small in life. And I wasn't just declaring faith. When there is a strong decision, it's always matched by action. Yeah. Well, you see someone that has decided not to be small in life. That's the way he walks. That's the way he thinks. That's the way he talks. Many of the youth you see while away their time is because they've not yet made a strong decision. That decisions you make in your life is to control your life. The day I woke up and decided that I was going to serve God and God was going to use me, it changed everything about me. It changed my dressing. It changed how I talk. It changed my friends. Your decisions is stronger than even your mistakes. So I'm going to ask you today again to decide. Make your decision. You see, let me say this to you. How this year has been for you, largely, is because of decisions you've made. I know there are other contributing factors. There are human factors. There are economic factors. But they are largely dependent on decisions you've been making since last year or since this year started. You must make it. You have to make a choice. Your decision is stronger than your past. But let me say something to you. Good decisions made today can cancel the effects of bad decisions of yesterday. I say that again. Good decisions of today can cancel the effects of bad decisions of yesterday. Let me say this to you. You are here, you've made a lot of mistakes in the past. And you want things to change. If you make the right choices today, it can cancel the effects of the wrong choices of yesterday. It can. It can. Amen. I said amen. Let me give you a very wild example. A lady grows up, gets to her 17 or her 18, and begins to mess up, begins to follow men up and down, sleep around with guys, and everybody in the neighborhood and everywhere knows her or began to know her as a runs girl. And everybody just understood her as a runs girl, you know, and eventually at 22, 23, everybody knows her as a runs girl. If she can make up her mind from that day to turn a new leaf. At first, they will say she's pretending. But keep it 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. It will erase the memories of the past. Yeah. In fact, people that wouldn't have married her 5 years ago will marry her 5 years after. If she can only make up her mind and decide today. And that's why, if you are delaying your day of decision, you are actually elongating the repercussions of the decisions of the past. Yes. That's why you must learn to make right decisions. I'm going to challenge you to make certain decisions about your life today. Because whatever you decide today is stronger than your past, stronger than your background, stronger than your destiny. All these You know, there's this song, When We're Young, an Igbo song. Very good song, though. You know that song? Agamabo, Iye Chineke Sinamgab. Do you know that song? Agamabo, Olakamado. If I'm non-Igbo, it means I will be what God said I will be, and nobody can stop it. I like the song. Good declaration. But can I say this to you? Olakamado, man's handy work is not strong enough to stop what God said you will be. But you see, that's your hand is strong enough to mess your life up. People don't get where they're meant to get to, not because of what people do to them. It is them. If I let me say this to you, even when people have done things to you, it was your reaction to that thing they did to you that stopped you. Your decision is stronger than whatever any man can do. Amen. You get into school. You know who was talking? I think one of us was telling me how he was supposed to, because I know that people are wicked. That's what I'm trying to say. How he was supposed to make a first class in school. Worked hard for it. Got the score. Everything. And just 5 minutes to the point, a lecturer messed him up and decided that he will not get to first class. And made sure he brought him down to 2-1. Even from his project. I said, the thing was hurting him. I said, well, you have to forgive. I think that's the first step. But let me say this to you. You can decide to end small because they denied you first class. You'll be sulking all over the place. See, if I had made first class, I'd have been in the United States. If I made first class, I'd have been in the UK. Or you can wake up and decide, I didn't make first class, but I'll be the first in life. That's what the Bible said. You shall be the first and not the last. Because your decision is stronger than anything that's happened to you. It's stronger than anybody's handwork. Anybody. That's why, hear me, if you fail in life, don't blame anybody. If you fail in life, if you fail in ministry, don't blame anybody. You are actually making your choices today. You are determining your tomorrow. All this no one knows tomorrow is actually not true. No one knows tomorrow, but we can predict tomorrow. We can pay attention. Of course, there can be satanic interferences. Even those satanic interferences, for them to persist, because you decided to allow them. Because if you don't want to allow them, you switch to prayer. Everything revolves around your decision. I feel like I'm talking about, friends. You have to decide. So we can predict tomorrow. I cannot go to market now and buy egusi, and buy pepper, and buy palm oil, buy meat, buy fish, and all of this, and I'm coming back with it, and they ask you, what soup is he going to cook? And you say, nobody knows. No, we know. By looking at the things I've bought, you know the soup I want to cook. By looking at the choices you are making today, we know where you'll be tomorrow. It's not prophecy. It's word from knowledge, not of knowledge. We know it. Are you following me, friends? That's why there are right choices you must make today for yourself. For yourself. Amen. And I was talking to somebody this afternoon, and I told the person, I can predict whether your children will enjoy when they come or whether they will suffer. I can predict if your children, when they are in their 20s and their 30s, whether they will be going from prophets to prophets, looking for who will break generational curse for them by looking at your life today. Because some young people of today are already creating problems for their kids to come. A young man here, you want to make money or you want to do whatever, you are going from native doctor to native doctor, they are doing whatever for you. You are creating money for your future. When it comes, don't say, how did the children turn out like this? You've made them like that. Your choices today will even determine how your children will be tomorrow. Just that as an age they will also get to, they now have to make their own decisions. But before your kids come to that point of decision, your choices today will affect them largely, a large part of their life. I feel what I'm saying. That's what there are choices you must have to make. You're going to do well in ministry, it's your decision. You want to ask well in ministry, it's your decision. Amen. I'm not talking about decision where you wake up and talk. I mean decisions that you will back with actions. But I just told you, when you decide things, you don't need to tell us, we will see it. You don't need to use your mouth to say a decision. When you see a student that has started to make first class, they don't need to tell you. When you see their lives, you know, we see where how they comport themselves, we see how they read. Are there people that read around and you ask them, Baba, you won't make first class? Have you seen such people? Because by the way that conducting themselves, you already see the decisions they've made.
And that people, the way they don't read around you, ask them, do you want to repeat? What have extra year? And they may tell you no. But that's actually what they've decided to do. Because we don't know your decision by what you say. We know your decisions by the actions you begin to take. I follow what I'm saying. I tell you the truth. Many people see me in ministry today, and to the glory of God, many well-meaning people see me in ministry today. When they see me and see what God is doing, most of them, what they just say is, I'm not surprised. Because you won't be surprised. You shouldn't be. When you see a young man who lives all his life, who lives all his life fasting, who wakes up around 12 in midnight, walking around the school praying in tongues. When you see such a man who stays without eating, who jacks his Bible like no man's business. When you see God losing, don't say I'm surprised. Don't be surprised. It was predictable. And so I actually understand the grace of God. But hear me. Even Paul said, the grace of God that was given to me was not in vain. He said, I labored more abundantly than they all. So there is grace, but there is now decision to make that grace not to be wasted. Amen. This about so people labor and don't achieve anything. Yes. It's still decision. They decided to labor outside the grace of God. You know that is laboring outside God's grace. Not just in ministry, in life. For instance, one basic thing about grace now, I'm just telling you, not like a pastor, but naturally, there are things people have natural grace for. Have you observed? Natural ability to do. When they decide to put in effort in that area, they always succeed. Always. So it comes down to what you decide to do. If your father has left wealth for you, and you decide to waste, you will still waste. So decisions are stronger than your past, stronger than your mistakes, and all of that. And before I just say a few things, one of the things that will help you, one major key to making right decisions in life, is to not be emotional. Emotional people always make wrong decisions. Sentimental people. Yeah. What will people say? How will they react? People who want to please everybody always make the wrong decisions. Someone is here today under the sound of my voice. It's been dropping in your heart to take church seriously, to take your spiritual life seriously. But you are wondering what will your friends say? How will they look at me? You are just an emotional person. You are too sentimental. You will not get there. People that succeed in life are people that make decisions that they know they should make. That's not what people are going to say. Yes. When I found the truth of God's word, you see, I knew that people are going to ridicule me when I start doing some of those things, but it was my decision and it has brought me to where I am today. Make decisions today, not out of emotions, but based on truth. Based on truth. Based on truth. Because some people, you already know what to do. But the questions are still emotional. That's still sentimental. What if I take this step? What is going to happen? What if I start doing this? What will people say? What will people say? Amen. Is he talking about church now? That's this church I know that if I go, my spiritual life is going to be better. But then when my friends say that I'm going to that church, they will say I'm stupid. I'm wasting 500 naira to transform myself to church every day. Whereas I can just go to the nearby church. Are you mad? Listen, if you keep thinking of what people are going to say, you will keep making the wrong decisions. Now, there are a few persons in life that the opinions count. But I can tell you, it's not everybody. Everyone's opinion should not count. There are a few persons that opinions should count. Because people that say things like, I don't care what anybody has to say, that's pride, that's arrogance. But people who also care about what everybody is going to say, that's weakness. Can I say that again? People who don't care what anybody is going to say are proud people. That's arrogance. But people who care about what everybody is going to say are weak people. They're weak. So what is the balance? You must identify people who their decisions matter, who their opinions rather matter in your life. Not everybody. You can't be sentimental and achieve what God wants you to be. You can't be emotional. Amen. It's time to begin to take your business seriously. But your friends want you to always come out so that you guys can hang out and be gisting and be laughing. You know you have to stand up one day and stop that stuff. But no, they will say you are now doing I too know. Sometimes you have to do I too know in this life. Most people that have succeeded in this life were once called overdoing. That were overdoing. Sometimes you have to overdo. I'm telling you for real. Sometimes you have to overdo. Because many years ago, where the mission we belong to, the man told us that day, he spoke it in Osaka. I can't forget it. He said, the highest in 10 years, no keko mwoye. Do you know what I said now? Now. He said, the highest in 10 years, okay. What does that mean? Okay, what he's trying to say, okay, is that highest in 10 years' time, there will be a clear distinction between people. Pepsi said their motto is, the difference is clear. Is Pepsi right? Huh? Is it Pepsi? Your 7-Up. I say 7-Up. The difference is clear. A time is going to come. It's a matter of 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. The difference will be clear. Will be clear. But it's based on decision. I'm not talking about money, not just money. I'm talking about everything. And that's why I'm going to say this before I proceed. You see where you are now. If you're a young person here, listen to me. Don't envy sinners around you. Because the Bible has told us the end of sinners. Whatever wealth they acquire through sin will not last. Yeah. It fizzles away. I know too much. So I know what I'm saying. I know what I'm saying. Forget everything that is happening. Today and this week, next week, people will be graduating from different universities and they're going to be spending money. They're going to be driving big cars. They're going to be sitting on top of the car, popping champagne. Let me speak to you. Don't be deceived. They don't have money. You may not know, but it's okay. Amen. You have to make decisions today. Someone can wake up today and decide, I'm looking at the next 5 years, I want to achieve this. And he decides to cut down his spendings. That's a decision, for instance. You laugh at him. He keeps cutting down. In 5 years time, you have seen the difference. You say, suddenly that guy became something. It's decisions of yesteryears that produces today. Why someone else is cutting his spending, another person decides that he will be the Pablo supplying everybody. So he keeps doing wire, throwing money around. Even, you know, I was teaching you guys, even in your health, I know that it's the devil and whatever he does, but we'll trust the power of God. But largely where you're going to be in your health next 15, 20, 25 years, we can know by today. Keep drinking. Keep smoking. Keep hiring. We know we will come and visit you. We will come. Apple, bread. We'll bring it for that's what it is, banana. Mm-hmm, you know it. There are decisions you make for yourself today. Everything is not about now. It will not affect you. It will affect you. Let me tell you. Once access is granted, influence is sure. You cannot grant something access to your life and hold that it will not affect you. It will affect you. It will affect you. He says, sir, every time I watch porn, it doesn't affect me. It's a lie. Once access is granted, influence is sure. I can smoke, it doesn't happen to me. When I smoke my own, I used to feel good. It's a lie. Your heart has been affected. Your lungs, just that you don't used to see it. There are decisions you have to make today. I want to do decisions, for instance, I'm going to challenge you, for instance. You should have, I'll give you like 5 decisions I wanted to make today. And live your life according to those decisions. For instance, you must decide to grow spiritually. It was a decision I made some years ago. That if I was going to be a Christian, I will be. If I will not be, I will not be. If I was going to be, I will get to the end of the matter. You have to decide today. Because tomorrow, whether you're going to be a spiritual giant or not, is dependent on the decisions you are making today. I can only do my job as a pastor. But the work of a church in your life will only work when you decide to cooperate with it. You have to wake up one day and say, you have to be serious with God. Someone has to decide to grow spiritually. You know, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. It says, grow in grace. Grow in grace. In other words, this is your job. God does not grow people spiritually. People grow in grace. Grow in grace is your decision. Are you following me, friends? So you have to decide to grow spiritually. I woke up one day and said, Henry Onyedikachi, you will grow spiritually. That decision pushed me to books, to buy Christian books. That decision pushed me to prayer. That decision pushed me to even change my church as a den. It was that single decision of saying, see, you cannot end normal. You are either going to be a Christian or you will not be. If you will be, you will do it well. If you will not be, you will not do it again. Passion for growth. You must decide to grow. You must go beyond the point where people drag you to do things. There should be a personal decision you put in your life. Say, see, okay, you're going to grow. I got to that point in my life. And you must get to that point today. Beyond whether they are waking you up to do, you know, as children, one sign of childhood, of being a child, or childishness, let me use childishness, one sign of childishness is that they still force you to do things that will be for your own good. You know that's how you train children. You bring drug you want to give a child doesn't want to eat it. You force it on the child because you know it's for his own good, so you are forcing him. One sign of maturity is that you decide to begin to do things you know that they are for your own good, not because of anybody. You must come to that point where you decide that you're going to grow spiritually. As a baby, we can monitor you, wake you up to pray, wake you up to study. When you grow and decide to grow, you wake up by yourself. I see people in this church, some of you, I'm seeing you people, I know, you don't need to tell me, I'm seeing you've made that decision that you want to grow. I've seen it. But the people I'm still seeing, they're still in that, they're still in the dilemma. Today they're really growing, tomorrow they're just there. Somebody must wake up and say, today I want to be a serious Christian. I want to grow. I told you guys when God called me to ministry, I told him, if you know I'm just going to be an ordinary pastor here and there, I'm not going to do that. That's me. I'm telling you, I told God plainly. And I knew the meaning of that statement I made to God. Because what he replied was, the ball is in your court. Everything I'm talking about. You are the one that will decide whether you just want to be yet another believer or you want to be more. Are you getting the point? You are the one that will decide whether you want to be yet another chorus that all comes to the stage to sing or whether you want to be more. You are the one that will decide whether in 5 years' time you want to be that mountain-moving believer or you just want to be more. It is your choice. So somebody here must decide to grow spiritually. As some of you have made that decision, let no man take it from you. Jesus told Martha, he said, Martha, you are encumbered about so many things. He said, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen it. So they were cooking, but somebody, Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. It's about decision. What choice have you made today? Have you decided to grow spiritually? I know you have friends. Let me tell you what it means. Deciding to grow spiritually will cost you your friends. Deciding to grow spiritually will cost you your time. Deciding to grow spiritually will cost you something. It will cost you something. You've not yet decided until those friends have gone. When I chose to grow spiritually, I let go of my friends. I had two best friends, or so we called ourselves, growing up. From, not Pastor Casey them or no, from junior class. My brothers know them. Two of them. When I decided to get serious, because, of course, by that SS1, SS2, I knew what I wanted to do. So I sat down, real life story, I sat down and came up with a strategy. Daddy, how do I separate from this? It was my prayer. How do I separate? So I came up with two strategies. Strategy one was during break. I'll tell you a real life story. During break, secondary school, bend down and start praying. When you are done praying, read your Bible. He said, once you do that, they will not come to talk to you. Strategy two, we normally walk home together from school. I wasn't bold enough to say, I don't talk with you guys again. So what did I do? Strategy number two, I said, whenever I will start walking home, I will lead the conversation. Then we will step out of the gate. There was this prayer I went for on Friday. The man of God was preaching. We spoke in tongues. We prayed all night. I knew it was going to bore them. Or they will respond. So at the time, we said, first day I did, second day, third day, I said, is there not that you know how to, I say, there is this program again that we went to. Yeah. Of course, they got bored and shifted. Today we're not quarreling. And God did it because I know God helps. God did it before the end of that term, both of them changed school. Okay, so today we see, we just, once in a while they call me. MOG, you don't read, oh. Can you pray for us? Still today they still call to ask for prayers. But because I decided. One of them was one that called me. I was telling you guys, he was about to get into a business. You know that story? And he called me and said, I know if I called you, I will know what to do. So I said, tell me about the business. He told me, I said, well, if you are my member, I would have said, go and pray. But you're not my member. He said, just tell me. I said, don't do the business. And 2 weeks after he called me, he said, Ababa, emoji, your own are clear. Where your church be? He get one. Where is your church? I said, sir, I want to, you know, jokes now. You make me treasure, I'm coming. But he was so excited because the team worked. He wasn't duped. But it was a decision of many years ago that I was going to stand and grow spiritually. You have to decide today. What you'll be tomorrow, your spiritual life will be a function of the decisions you are making today. Decide. Decide. Are you following me? Decide. Again, you must decide, for instance, to serve God with all your life. Joshua 24 and verse 15. Put it up. Joshua 24, 15. Ooh, those are Joshua talking. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. He said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a decision. As for me. He must come to that point of as for me. He says, why did he add his house? A father should also make decisions for his children when they are young, before they get to that point of decision. And I was telling fathers this. That's why you said, well, you are a man up, right? That's why you set structures around your house. By setting structures around your house, you are deciding, as for me and my house, we'll serve God. We'll go to church. We'll pray. You must come to that point of decision, as for me and my house. He told them, I don't know the gods you guys are going to serve. I'm your spiritual leader, but I can't decide for you. He gave them three options. One, gods that we are on the other side of the floor. That's the gods of Egypt. Two, the gods of the Amorites that are here. Third option is the Lord. He said, but me, I've made my choice. As for me and my house, just like Pastor Henry telling you, you can choose to be serious with God. You can choose to focus on this. There are many options. Life always gives you multiple options. So you can choose. So that when the consequences come, you cannot see anybody force it on you. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's why I love the power of choice. Because when the consequences will come, you will not say, I didn't see this coming. No, you saw it coming. You saw it coming. You saw it coming. You have to choose. You have to choose. And you already see something in this verse. I don't know why God leading me to that. The decision you make as a father will have effect on your children. As for me and my house. So he chose and chose for his house. Now, there's a level, there's an age they get to, they can now decide on their own. But there's an age your kids will be at. You are the one that will decide for them. So if you've chosen to fail, they will fail with you. If you've chosen to be slaves of Satan, they'll be slaves with you. You must come to the point of, as for me and my house. As for me and my family. As for me and my children. As for Henry, I will serve the Lord. I don't know what my friends are going to say. That's why I said it must not be a sentimental decision. It must not be an emotional decision. It's a decision you make. Will they call you names? Yes. Will they say I'm becoming too serious? Yes. Will they say, you no longer dress like you are hot? Yes. I'm hot in the Lord. I'm fire for Jesus. You must come to that point where your decisions and what people say about you no longer bother you. Because if you're still an emotional person, you know one thing about being emotional? Emotional people are always easily manipulated. Don't be emotional. Whatever you know, you have, make decisions based on truth and not on emotions. Whatever you know you have to do, you do it. Not minding who is hot or who is angry. Because again, I tell you, some people's decisions matter in your life. Or some people's opinion, rather, matter in your life. But not everybody's opinion. You have a group of people. All of you used to smoke before as a team. You must wake up one day and say, as for me. That as for me will demand, I'm going to lock up my house again. It will demand, I'm not going to that place to normally go to meet to smoke again. You must make that decision. As for me, I will serve the Lord. As for me. I get to the point. Are you following me? You had a group of girls you used to go to go and do runs with. You have to come to the point of, as for me. Do you know, when I got saved newly, I wasn't in much things bad, but I was a football player. Don't mind what I used to play and how I used to play. Just that I belong to this club that we were playing, who trained every evening. I don't even know what was my wing. Leave it. But I was playing every evening. When I got born again, I'm saying this because all my brothers said they know the story. I came back and I decided to grow spiritually. And I took a stock. I don't know what gave me that wisdom. I looked at my life and my time. I said, if I continue with this football club, There were two major things that were taking my time then. Football club and PlayStation. PlayStation. It was taking my time and my money. We go from school to play everywhere. And I leave, I continue with these two things, I will not grow spiritually. So I stopped playing ball. I still remember vividly, I told my brother I will not play ball again. I remember vividly the day those people, we had match. But they didn't take me seriously. And I don't know what, I didn't know I was that important in the team with all the rubbish I was doing. So when it was time for the match, they were going to go play. All of them branched to my house. Do you remember that day? All of them sat outside. Say, where is he? They should come and let's go and play. He told them, he said he's not playing again. I don't think I came out that day. I didn't even come out at all. So why didn't you come out? Because at that time, I was still fresh in the decision. I didn't want anybody to try to convince me. Because always, let me go and play. But after playing, I'm not playing again, no. And I heard them from outside saying, football is a sin. You know that kind of thing. I didn't say football was a sin. I still play ball when I go play ball on Saturday. But I knew with the time I had as a secondary school student, if I kept going to play that ball every evening, going to play game every day, I was never going to have time to pray, to study, to even do well academically, to even grow spiritually. So I quit that club for a very long time. I didn't touch PlayStation pad again till after a very long time when I knew that I had broken out from that stuff. I have PlayStation in my house now. Once in a while, I just play it. It's not a big day for me. But I had to make that decision then. That this football club, I will stop. Amen. And when I stopped, the thing scattered. I didn't know I was that powerful. Because eventually, one of the guys that was in that club too, who was almost like, that one stopped too. Do you understand? My brother was in the club too. He stopped. Club was scattering. Club ended. And I don't regret it one bit. Because that decision, I can even tell you, changed everything. It even brought more respect to me. Those that I was playing that ball with, now, they began to see me like this guy. It first started with anger. Then turned to beef. Have you seen that kind of thing? It starts with anger. Then turned to beef. Who do they even think they are? We that are playing, but we're all going to hellfire. Then it turned to admiration. Say, guy, they are trying, you know, that's where it always ends. So the decision of today was decide to grow spiritually. I feel what I'm talking about. Was decide to grow spiritually. Was decide to serve the Lord. As for me and my house. As for me and my house. So decide to grow. Decide to serve the Lord. Decide to break out, for instance, from addictions and every sinful struggle. Now, I know breaking out from addiction is beyond making up your mind. But it starts from there. I know it's beyond saying I will not do it again, but it starts from there. Because no matter how much medications we give you, if you don't decide to start taking it, you will not take it. It's your decision. It starts from, it must get to the point where you say, well, now wow, you said this addiction I'm struggling with is even enough for you. When you now get to that point, of course, decision is not enough. You now begin to take steps, but it starts with the decision. Wake up one day and decide now wow, am I not a believer again? Why should I still be struggling with this? Today, this is coming to an end. You must come to that point of decision. You know, Job 31, I think verse 1. I hope I'm not wrong. Job 31 and verse 1. Look for it. I believe I'm right. Yeah, I'm right. Job woke up one day and said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? So Job woke up one day and said, I've decided. Now, put up like NLT. Decision. I made a covenant with my eyes not to look with lust at a young woman. You must come to that point of covenant. I've decided that I'm breaking out from this. I ask all of you to make that covenant too. With your eyes. Say amen. You have to make a covenant with your eyes that you not look at a maiden. Say amen. Look for a brother around you. Ask the brother, have you made that covenant with your eyes? Is that point of decision? So I've decided I'm not going to look at any young woman.
people don't know the song, sing it again.
Sing it. Do you know the other part? I will be a hero for. They were singing that song one day. I told myself, this song is calling for me to make the decision that I was not going to end ordinary. Have you made up your mind that you don't end like an ordinary person? I told myself, I don't want to end my life and I will just be forgotten the day rain falls and washes away the poster of my obituary. That's, some people, that's the end. Once that rain, you know, there's always this rain that washes off obituary poster. So once that's over, nobody remembers them again. There are people that when they die, they are still alive. They are dead, but they are still speaking. Some of them are still speaking through their books. They are still speaking through their works. They are still speaking through the people they produce. You know there are people, for instance, that are dead today. But even you think they are still alive. You know, some of you still think Brother Hagin is alive. We never say, Brother Hagin said, you think the man died 2003. Archbishop Idahosa once said, the man died 1999. Some of you are not even born by then. I get the point. Ketrin Kuman once said, now Ketrin Kuman died before they gave it to your father. But yet they are dead, they speak. Even though they are dead, yet they speak. Now, there are people that pass away like that. And don't say God chooses. It is your decision to not end ordinary. Move away even from the spiritual side. There are people that have died but are still alive. But there are people that are alive yet they are dead. Because they are alive but nobody knows they exist. They are not making any impact in the generation. Jesus died at 33 years. But the impact of that 33 years is still reverberating to today. You can choose not to die ordinary, not to end ordinary. It was my decision at the time. I will not end an ordinary man. I will not end an ordinary pastor. I will not end an ordinary Christian. There is more to me. I get the point. In fact, I said Jesus died at 33. In reality, the part of Jesus' life that we're still talking about now is just 3.5 years. That 3.5 years impact has swept through generations. That's to tell you again that life is not just about how much money you make. You can decide not to die ordinary. You can decide to change your generation. You can decide to be a voice in your generation. You can decide. You can decide. Because let me say this to you. Everything you have will end. But the impact you make in people's life will never end. Now, it's as simple as that. That's why I say you don't need to be a pastor. You want to be a man that will never die. You are in school today. Begin to make impact in people's life. Get people saved. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Help people get serious with God. Help them break away from addiction. Help them get stronger. Let me tell you, you will never die. 10 years after when that, we're advising their children, they will mention your name all the time. You will remain relevant. So you can decide to just be yet another person that will exist on earth and die. But you can decide to be a blessing to your generation. One that years to come, they will keep talking about. Not because you like fame, but because of the kind of impact you've made your generation. You can decide to be that man. There are some men that are dead, yet they still speak. And there are some men that are alive, yet they are dead. They are dead. We know nothing about them. You saw the story of Jabez? This one begat this, they died. This one begat this, that's the only thing about them. So you see those names who are mentioned in the Bible, we don't know nothing about them. But there are people that stand out in their generation and are never forgotten. Now, the thing is this, God does not handpick those men. It's a matter of decision. Listen to this. God determines the
his call upon your life. He determines the ministry you will stand in. He determines what you will do. But like I always say, he will not determine how far you will go in whatever he has asked you to do. God can determine can choose, for instance, that you will not be a pastor. You just be a Christian that will serve your local church. But do you know how the decisions you make today will determine whether you will get to the end of everything God wants you to do, even as a Christian? There are Christians, in quotes, ordinary Christians, who behind the scene, they are the lifeline of churches. It was a decision. I know what I'm talking about. You have to decide to make an impact to your generation. I remember one day, I was in a meeting, and a man of God preached a message. He titled that message, "Where Are the Sons?" When he finished that message, I tell you guys this all the time, I ran out of the church. I can't forget that day. They were building the church, building around there, and they had just heaped this sharp sand. This sand they use for building. They just heaped it. And I found myself, I landed, I wasn't unconscious, don't worry. I landed on top of the sand. I was rolling up and down, and I was shouting, "If you will not use me, kill me." That point of decision. I said, I don't want to end on that. I don't want to just end like an ordinary human being. If you use me, kill me. Because I want to be more for God in my generation. There are some that live, there are some that exist. I don't want to just exist. I want to really live. But it's a point of decision. That day, he decided the kind of friends I began to keep. That decision changed everything. It changed the books I began to read. It changed how I began to pattern my life. It changed the meetings I began to attend. It changed many things. That decision of not ending ordinary is what carries me sometimes to some meetings. Spend 100 of and attend because I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same. That decision not to be ordinary is what will make me decide I won't talk to this person again because I don't want to end the same. That was the day actually I decided I was not going to marry anybody that was not a believer. Now I've been hearing people preach it. But the man also said that day that one of the things that will make men not to change their generation that they marry a bad wife. I said, I will not marry anybody that's not a believer. I made up my mind that you must come to the point. You know the reason why at your age, any girl appeals to you. If you marry any girl or any guy, you've not come to that point of this decision saying, I want to be a blessing to my generation. Sister, you are not just created to produce children. There is more. And you must come to that point where you decide that I'm going to be more. All these things that make you look like that's the only thing you just created to give birth to children, cook in the kitchen. Can I even say to women, you are not created to be Munyo Dogu? Yeah. I get what I'm saying. That's not the purpose God created you. Say, I'm created to eat money. And that's the only thing they remember about you. She was so fat. You don't know her. And she can eat. You know, even government officials, there are some that when they are done, not this is the spiritual office now, when they are done, you turn around and say, it was his tenor that building came up. Oh, it was his tenor that this law came. It was his tenor. There are people that when they are done, we just know that they existed. Decide to make an impact. Decide. And I want to bring you to that point of decision. When you look at the verse, you will not end ordinary. We are all studying law, but you will not end an ordinary lawyer. We are all studying medicine, but you will be more than a doctor. We are all studying engineering, but you will be more than that. We are all coming to church, but you will be more than a church member. You will not be an ordinary church member. We are all pastors, but you will not be an ordinary pastor. There will be more about you. It's a point of decision. And now, it doesn't call for competition. It now begins to reorder your priorities. It begins to change how you talk. It begins to change how you see people. It begins to change how you interact with people. It begins to change how you dress, the books you read, the places you go to. Look at how I explain it to people. If we all get to the park, okay, which park are we going to use now? God is good. Any of those parks. You get there. Now, we can be five sitting down there. And this should change your life. And I'm going to Abuja. You are going to Lagos. You are going to Port Harcourt. You are going to Kaduna. We cannot, no matter how we love ourselves, we can't get on the same vehicle. Now, that's why, you see, the things I do, now, deciding not to work with you is not because I hate you. Sometimes we're just going to do two different places. I cannot, out of love, get on the bus going to Abuja, whereas I'm going to Lagos. I got what I'm talking about. That decision you have to make in your life, it will change your friends. It will change how you behave. It will change who you talk to. Listen to me, oh, we are not stupid. I said that when I was in school. I said, I'm not stupid. You see me pray the way I pray. Carry Bible the way I carry Bible. I am not stupid. I know where I'm going to. You think we don't want to? Of course, I don't want to anyway. But you think some people don't want to get into the club and be shouting all through the night? Yeah. Some people want to. I don't want to anyway. Not because of my pastor. I never wanted to. But some people want to. But sometimes when you check where you are going to and check, you know, there are decisions you have to make. There are choices. And I want to say this to you by the Holy Ghost. If you've made wrong choices in your life, well, I saw something in the spirit. Yes. Have you ever been to the airport and you get to the part where people are picking their bags? That stuff keeps turning around. Have you seen what I'm saying? Now it's carrying different bags. You just stand at a spot, the thing keeps turning around. When it gets to you, you carry your bag. I saw that picture in the spirit. If you've missed an opportunity, if you can make the right choices, that opportunity will come back again. I just want to know that it will return back to you. But it's about decisions you make today. Listen, you know, God can fix the errors of yesterday. But even when he does, and you are still making the wrong choices today, you are still creating more errors for yourself. You are abusing the grace of God. Okay? Why did you get to a point in your life, you already a pastor, you already had one or two branches, you still went to submit yourself under a spiritual father? I knew where I wanted to go in life. It was I'm trying to tell you, life's about decision. It's about decision. Why are you accountable to your spiritual father? If he's in Lagos, you're in Enugu. Anything you do, he will never know. I know. It's about decision. Where do you want to get to in life? I feel what I'm talking about. We are not stupid when we do the things we do. We know where we are going. Jesus, because of the hope set before him, he despised the cross. There are things that when you are looking at, everything around doesn't matter because you are pushing something. Pushing something. You have to make up your mind. And finally, I'm going to ask you to make up your mind to succeed. Now, this is not ministry now. To succeed God's way. Make up your mind to just succeed in your business. Succeed in your career. Yes, I want you to be all for God. And that's what I'll be saying this morning. But make up your mind to succeed in your business. Make up your mind to be rich. You say, having money is not about deciding to be rich. No. It starts from there. Some of you that have finished school some years ago, there are people that you went to school with. If you see them rich today, you will not be surprised because of the way they were behaving when you were in school. But there are people that when you see that they are rich, yourself, you are shocked. Say, how did it happen? You must make up your mind to succeed. I mean, succeed God's way. To succeed God's way. Make up your mind to succeed God's kind of success. You're a student in school. Make up your mind to succeed. Sir, succeeding in my department is not about deciding, but it starts from deciding. Deciding will now lead you to read. Deciding will lead you to pray, but it starts from there. Let me tell you the reason why many students fail in school. I've said this many times. Because as they progress in their studies, their decisions, their resolves are weakened. Enter first year. What do you want to graduate with? First class. Second year, third year, when they see the second, first result, see the second result, by third year, second year is 2-1, sha, comfortable 2-1. By third year, I beg, let's just graduate. All these schools say, I am not using this certificate, stop that excuse. You have to decide to succeed. And you know why they stop deciding, why they change their mind? They saw one or two results. Because the thing about it is,
no matter the decisions you make, life will test those decisions to see if you really made those decisions. You want to be first class, you see your first result, and it's a D. That should strengthen your resolve and not weaken it. But what happens, because many people are weak-willed, they see a D, see another C, see another C. One of our students that made first class, if he's here, he will tell you. By the time, I think it was final year, something final year, we looked at the results and we saw that, okay. I was telling him, you need to make first class. I said, yes, he knows. But then it means this final year, he really has to make all A's. I said, then so be it. Make all A's. All A's, first semester, second semester. Now, that is the resolve. A B would have spoiled everything, but he made all A's. Yes. When I was in first day, this guy made first class and he was addressing us. And somebody asked him, did he ever have an F? He said, yes. He said, he had one carryover. They say, if you have carryover, you cannot make first class. You know, it's a lie. He said, I had a carryover. He said, but from that day, I decided, no, something was going to change. And he jokingly told us that he's from the lineage of Abraham. So he only makes A's and B's. The A's and B's. He said that by the time he got to his third year, he said he had too many B's. And he decided this final year will be A's throughout. And that was how he did. He got his first class. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that things happen to people. If your decision is not weakened, you will still get it. Someone starts business and wants to succeed in business and then has one or two losses, they dupe you here and there. And then you say, you're no more doing. Your resolve is very weak. Amen. Amen. Pastor starts church, something happens, church breaks up, they attack you, they fight you, you go home and you're sulking, you're just with, the decision is very weak. Come to a point where you make up your mind, I'm going to succeed in this and I'm doing God's way. I'm going to succeed. Now, things will come to attack that your decision, but you stand and face it. Amen. People that fail in life mostly are people whose resolve are very weak. You must make up your mind to succeed. Make up your mind to be the best in your profession. Make up your mind. Decide to be the best. I'm not talking about riding cars. Decide to be the best. Decide to be the best. You're a Christian? Decide to be the best in your career. Make up your mind. I woke up one day and told myself, you're not going to be small. Not in ministry, not in life. You won't be small. And I know it like I know my name. Now, even when you see me talk, and when you see me make decisions around me, you know, I'm not thinking like a small person. Because not the first thing God will change when he wants to make you big is to change your thinking. Are you aware? I don't think like a small person. Yeah. Sometimes when I think like this, when you hear me talk, you will think this guy is a very big billionaire. Why am I talking that way? Because I'm actually a billionaire. You're not seeing it. You soon see it. I decided one day that there was more to me and I was going to be more. I was going to be more. In my Christian life, in my ministry, in my career, in my business, I was going to be more. So what decisions have you made today? What have you decided today? Are you not uncomfortable that at your age and at this time, something that's happening around you, make up your mind to be more? Because it's the point of decision. As for me and my house, you must come to that point of, as for me and my house, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will take Jesus around the world. As for me and my house, we will do this. As for me and my house, we will never be small. As for me and my house, and somebody is saying, it's all about deciding. It starts with deciding. And your decision is stronger than anything that has happened to you. Can I say it to you? Your decisions are stronger than even the challenges you are facing right now. No matter the mountain you decide to climb it, you will climb it. But it's that decision. And I'm many of you that God needs to help. Your will is weak. And I've said that in the spirit. Your will is very weak. You make up your mind, today no more. And the will is weakened. 2 days after that, you ask yourself, is this me? There are many things I can say to help you, but not today. But I can tell you what to do. Make your decisions from the place of prayer. And when I mean prayer, I'm not saying 30 minutes prayer. And it's not a decision. Not the reason why people quickly run away from their marriages is because they have a very weak will. They have a very weak will. There is no marriage that's lasted for 40 years that didn't go through whatever your marriage is going through. But you have a strong will. I know what I'm talking about. People quit their business because they have a very weak will. I've said this many times here, about a company, social media, whatever, I think, was it Twitter or so, that they said
don't even Twitter. Like that, the first 5 to 10 years when that they operated, they didn't make one gain, one naira, $1, 1 cent. They didn't make nothing. People were subscribing. They were not. They were just putting money into the thing. That's the point many Nigerian entrepreneurs would have packed up. Because to be an entrepreneur, you need some kind of heart, strong resolve. When a man is starting his business, he says, write your vision statement to be a company that will deliver services to the whole world, globally, cutting across every continent and every country of the world. Now, when that man does that business for like 7 years, he says, what's your vision? He says, I beg, let's be eating first. And what is happening? Life has come to weaken that resolve. After 5 years, I still want to ask you, where do you want to get to? You must have some kind of strong resolve. Some of you are here. 6 years ago, God said something to you, and you are shouting, we are taking over the world for Jesus. 6 years after, he said, let me just be praying and studying my Bible every day. That's the one that matters to me now. See, you must decide to be all God wants you to be. What that God wants you to be. I made up my mind not to remain small. I didn't remain small. He said, sir, are you big now? No, I'm not. I said, I did not, because I know how my life will end. I know how my life will end. He said, are you going to be all over the world? I don't know. All I know is that if that is where God wants me to be, I will get there. Anything God wants you to do, you must make up your mind to get to the end of it, fulfillment of all of that. And I want to say something to somebody here, and I'm saying this by the Holy Ghost. You failed in the past. You started a business, it failed. You tried some things, it failed. Even things others you are doing and succeeded, you tried your own, failed. Others you are jackpotting, you jackpot. It failed. Others you are starting a business, you started your own, it failed. Listen, if you can make up your mind not to throw in the towel, there is still hope. Don't throw in the towel, there is still hope. There is still hope. Amen? But this message of hope will not change anything if you don't decide that things will change. You have between now and December. People's life will still change. But it's a matter of decision. Someone might wake up today and decide, from tomorrow, I'll wake up every 5 a.m. and I will pray before I start my day. I want my life to change. My spiritual life to change. Another person will wake up and decide, from now, I'm going to take like 5 more courses to add to what I've taken. That person is already setting the tone for 2025. I know what I'm talking about. Well, by the time he takes 5 more courses, by 2025, he is actually 5 times more qualified than he is this year. I feel what I'm saying. It's about decision. So actually, how next year will be, some are deciding it now. Some are deciding it now. I get the point. The people that will be jobless next year are making their choices now. People that have jobs next year are making the choices now. People that will be out of business next year are deciding now. That's the time people are making. There are many carpenters or furniture people making seats. Like suddenly it looked like there was a change. It looks like furniture people are no longer being used. Most seats are now imported. Most seats are now, foreign and what have you. Some businessmen, some carpenters or furniture guys switched, went and took more courses, found out how to do that stuff, and switched that line of business. Some did not make that switch. They are broke today. They say Nigeria killed us. Your decision killed you. You see, there was a time what was journey was photography. You know that kind of... It didn't start when you were small. When you just got in the position, you pose. Oh. I had one man. I won't call his name. That man snapped everybody around our area. Everybody. Today, he's still where he started. No. Take that back. He's not even where he started. He's way behind. Because suddenly the photography trend changed. People began to do studio picture. That if you already can snap picture, I get what I'm talking about. You can do that one. But of course, he didn't move with the trend. He continued there. Moving from secondary to secondary, snapping some small children picture. 200 inter-house bus. Snap a picture. Now, most times it's not God that fails you. It is the bad choices you've made. May God help you.
to make the right choices and give you the resolve to stand by those choices. Because that's what is going to count at the end of the day. To make up your mind and to stand by those decisions. To stand by those decisions. Decide to succeed in life. You see, your Christian life, your Christian faith, your life as a Christian does not kill ambition. Nothing wrong with being ambitious. Don't talk about ambitious in ministry. But we are, you know, allow God to do whatever. Be ambitious in life. Nobody says you should be ambitious. Make up your mind to succeed. God loves it when you succeed. Do you understand the point? When you succeed. Hallelujah. I believe that whatever that is worth doing well. If I'm going to be a keyboardist, I'll be the best keyboardist. I will get the best. Yeah. I'm going to be a tailor, be the best tailor. You see, December is coming. People that will enjoy money in December are deciding it now. Because there is one teller I know. Whether in the flesh or in the spirit, I don't know. But has been spoiling people's clothes and explaining to them. By December, there's no job coming. Because people have important weddings to attend in December. And they will not wear explanation. They will not wear this a new style. You just don't know it. It's decision. One person is going to go upgrade himself. The other person will just sit down there and be explaining to everybody. No, you don't. No one sold for us. My brother and I many years ago. Now, not only did he sew for us, he didn't sew the style we asked him to. And to worsen it, he came to the shirt, senator wear, and put Man U badge. I've never seen that kind of thing. Now, of all clubs, and we confronted him. What did he say? I don't know what's raining. I'm saying, people that will be broke in 5 months' time, we know them. It's good to shout amen in church. Without shouting amen, your decision is stronger than your amen. You know what I said? Your decision is stronger than all those. Yeah, I receive your decision. Your decision. Jacob was blessed, but he didn't go home to sit down. He decided not to be small. Someone has to decide today. I know your result is crying now. But whether you have an extra year is a decision today. Amen. I met a student some years ago. And she told me, say, sir, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry for disappointing you. We were in second year. She was in second year. And I'm going to have an extra year. Second year. The result was so bad. So I said, let me see the result. Of course, it was really terrible. And I looked at that result. There was only one window through which you will not have an extra year. You know what that window is? It's to get A's and B strokes. And someone that has been having D, C, E, F, then E, F, 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 D, 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 C. You know that kind of result? Yeah, E, D, C. At that point, I said, the only thing that will help you now is your decision. You can have an extra year. But you know the point, if your will is weak, you can even have 2 extra years. You have to make up your mind. And then, of course, everything set into motion. Reading culture, everything changed. Do you understand? At the end of the day, she managed to come out with a 2-2. Big testimony. What did I say? Because where that result was going to. You know that is C of A. Certificate of attendance. This is to certify that this brother passed through this school. I would not ever want to see him around this school any other time. But it's decision. You are not at a place in your life where you cannot turn things around. If you will decide. Do you remember that I taught you about healing? The last Sunday we had on our healing service, I told you, if to get it, so you come to a point where you decide. I thought about that woman that diagnosed her child of epilepsy. And she decided the child will not remain like this. Began to pray every night. It's decisions. Life is largely about your decisions. We can go up and down blaming everybody, blaming Nigeria, blaming culture. Protest is happening now. I've been saying this since this protest started. It's happening now.
Can I say this to you? Majority of people who are participating in that protest, not everybody, I'm not against it, but majority of people participating are people blaming the government for failing them. People are moving on with their life. You know why I'm not really pained by this protest? I think I'm making mess of it. I'm not making mess of it. But I'm telling you why I'm not pained by it. Things have always been like this. Do you understand? You don't agree? Don't worry. It has always been like this. Things have always been bad. Just that you are growing up to find that. That time, they were giving you money. Do you know how bad it was? Things have always been like this. You just grew up, you came to someone, you just don't know you, Jesus. This is how the market is. Things have always been like this. Every time I go to buy things, I look at things and I'm like, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yeah. Things have always been like this. What I mean by that, things have always been getting bad. But in that whole mess, people have always been succeeding. Do you understand? Some will still testify that this year was their best year. And I'm one of them. And it's not just by my prayer. My prayer is part of it. But I've decided to change certain things about my life. Yeah, I'm not going to relax. And then sulk. You know, you think that after this protest, now Nigeria will change. You don't know the people you voted into power. You don't know them. They don't care. So I'm going to tell you, make up your mind and take your life into your hands. Leave all this. So protest, what will happen? So what will happen? I thought it was going to happen. And so many protests, they said they're sharing money. So even if government shares 100,000 to everybody, what is that? How has that changed your life? Or they come with a bag of rice. Pick up your life. Because even if the government responds to this protest and comes up with good initiatives for the country, it is still people who are prepared for the opportunities that will get it. At the end of the day. You are protesting bad governance and yet you've not passed in school. If they release jobs now, can you get it? They say there are no jobs. I don't even qualify. Are you employable? Say there are jobs now. Can you get the job? You. There are no jobs. But what if there are jobs? Are you employable? My God. Food for thought. Because you need to realize Aladima Burundinze. Let me tell you what that means. That the land is bad is to the benefit of the kings and the chiefs and what have you. Now, that is the way you position yourself. If a country is terrible, you begin to cash out from that country because of how bad it is. There are many businesses in Nigeria that are not necessary. They're only necessary because Nigeria is bad. So you cash out from it. We have generators sellers today because Nigeria power is bad. If power gets fixed, so many people will lose their generator, people will stop selling. Think about that. Imagine Nigeria has 24 hours electricity. Generator companies will close down. So, you need to know how to cash out from the whole system. And it's about decision. Am I talking to somebody? Decision. Many businesses are not necessary in Nigeria. They're just necessary because we are having tough times. Now, you position yourself and begin to leverage. Remember what I told you on Sunday? To release your powers, right? You remember that? Think of what is a decision. God, the way you decide, see, I'm going to be more. I'm going to do something more. I'm going to take another step. Decide to be big. Amen. Or decide to be ordinary. That one is still a decision. Decide to be small is still a decision. Amen. Just pray in the Holy Ghost.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.